Please turn again to that little epistle of Jude. This evening I want very simply to draw your attention to God's attitude towards sin, especially the sin of the false teacher. We're going to discover that God will judge the false prophet and the false teacher. As I've said over these number of studies, we have discovered that in the book of Jude, Jude is writing to all of God's saints, and he is writing to warn them about false teachers in the church. And we noticed a little of the character of the false teachers this morning. Tonight we're going to continue the study, and I pray that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts and teach us tonight from his precious word. I pray also, if you're not saved, that the Lord will speak to your heart. There will be a word in the gospel, and I pray that the Lord will draw you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read again some of the verses that we're only after reading a few moments ago. We'll commence our reading at verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now look at verse 8. Likewise these filthy dreamers. When we come to verse 8, he's coming to speak about the false teachers that we have been considering in these studies. Likewise also these filthy dreamers. And then look at the latter part of verse 13. Is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. In other words, God will judge the false prophet, the false teacher. That's what is being taught here in this passage of Scripture. Let's bow and have a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord to come and help us as we come to deal with this subject tonight. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word, and we pray, Lord, this evening that you would help us to rightly divide the word of truth. And, O God, help us to preach thy word in context tonight. And we pray, Lord, that there might be a word in season for all of our hearts, and even for those in a meeting without Christ. O God, that you would reveal to the sinner tonight their great need of God's wonderful salvation. We thank thee that God's salvation is available for the whosoever will, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And yet, Lord, when we turn to this passage of Scripture, and when we study this passage of Scripture, we learn very dogmatically that God will judge sin, and God will judge the sinner. If the sinner refuses to repent, O God, we pray in these days that men will repent of their sin and turn to Christ for salvation. Bless us now, we pray thee. Fill us with the Spirit of God. For it's in Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it. Amen. As we have discovered in these studies, the general epistle of Jude was written to all the saints of God to warn them about false teachers who had crept into the Church of Christ in order to spread their false doctrines among God's people. That's what this little epistle is all about. Jude begins his epistle by exhorting God's people to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Although Jude initially wanted to write to the saints of God about the common salvation that they were all enjoying in Christ, after hearing about these false teachers, Jude was constrained by the Holy Spirit to write and warn God's people concerning these false prophets who had crept into the church unawares to spread their false doctrines. In our study this morning, we looked at verse 4. And we noticed three things about these false teachers. One, we considered their present position. They were in the church. Two, we considered their sinful character. They were ungodly men. And three, we considered their ultimate aim. And that was to change the truth and deny the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I want to draw your attention specifically to verses 5-7, though we will be looking at other verses in the passage. In these verses, Jude wants his hearers to remember. Look at verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance. He wants them to remember the past. And as Jude writes, he gives three examples of the past. The reason why Jude gives these three examples was for their learning, so that they would remember what God's attitude was towards sin in the past. And in drawing their attention to God's attitude to sin in the past, Jude was letting them know that God's attitude to sin had not changed in the present, especially in regards to the sin of the false teachers. These verses reveal unto us very simply and very clearly that as God judged false teachers in the past, he would judge false teachers in the present and in the future. And that's the truth that Jude here is seeking to get across to the people of God that he is writing to. Now, for a few moments tonight, I want us to consider God's attitude towards sin. And I pray that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts, that the Lord will teach you and I who are saved and instruct us, but also that there might be a word in season if you're not saved, if you're not converted tonight. My prayer is that the Lord will speak very personally to your heart and to your soul. First of all, I want you to notice that God hated sin in the past. In Jude verses 5-7, God condemns three types of sin in the past. In verse 5, he condemns the sin of unbelief. In verse 6, he condemns the sin of pride. And in verse 7, he condemns the sin of immorality. Look with me there at verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Among those who left Egypt in the book of Exodus, who were named among the children of Israel, there were many who had no faith. And although they saw the power of God demonstrated many different ways in the wilderness, still their hearts were full of unbelief, and they would not believe in the God of Israel. And God condemned their sin of unbelief. Take a look now at verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Among the angels who were created perfectly and lived in heaven, there were those along with the devil who fell because of the sin of pride. And of course, they wanted to exalt themselves above God. And led by Lucifer, or the devil, the son of the morning, as he is described in the book of Isaiah, pride entered into their hearts. And of course, we're familiar with that incident that we read about in the Old Testament. And here in verse 6, Jude is reminding his hearers that God hated that sin of pride that was in the heart of Lucifer and in the heart of the fallen angels. Take a look at verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. In verse 7, the people in Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, instead of embracing the truth, committed the sin of immorality. Indeed, they committed the sin of gross immorality. And of course, we know that that sin was the sin of sodomy, the sin of homosexuality. And Jude is pointing out here that God hated these sins in the past. Indeed, Jude is pointing out here that God hated all sin in the past, because these three sins sum up all sins. The sin of unbelief, the sin of pride, and the sin of immorality. So very simply, as we come to consider God's attitude towards sin, we can see that God's attitude towards sin in the past was this, that he hated sin in the past. And Jude here is emphasizing this as he writes this little epistle. Now, again, as you consider these three examples that are given here in verses 5 to 7, you will notice, secondly, not only did God hate sin in the past, but very clearly we are taught here that God judged sin in the past. In Jude verses 5 to 7, we learn that God judged those who committed the sin of unbelief, who committed the sin of pride, and who committed the sin of immorality. In verse 5, God destroyed those who committed the sin of unbelief. We learn that at the end of the verse. In verse 6, God reserved and has reserved in everlasting chains those angels who left their first estate because they committed the sin of pride. We learn that at the end of verse 6. So not only did God judge those in the wilderness among the children of Israel who sinned, but God judged the fallen angels that sinned, and will judge them, as we're going to find out in a moment, for all eternity. And in verse 7, we learn very simply that God sent fire from heaven upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin of immorality. And we're all familiar with God's judgment that fell upon the cities of the plain because they committed the sin of sodomy. You know, there's much that we could say about these judgments that fell upon these different individuals in Jude verses 5 to 7. But all I want to say at this moment is that God judged their sin. God refused to tolerate their sin. God hated their sin. And God judged their sin. Men and women, no matter where you read in the Bible, you will read that God judges sin, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament. God's attitude towards sin in the past was that he hated sin and that he judged sin. Now, I want you to notice thirdly this. God still hates sin, and God still judges sin in the present. God still hates sin, and God still judges sin today. Let me say again, the reason why Jude gave these three illustrations to the saints of his day was to remind them not only that God hated sin and judged sin in the past, but that God still hated sin and judged sin in the present. And he was pointing out to the saints of his day, that is Jude, that the false teachers who had crept in among them and all who followed them would be judged for their sin of falling away from the truth. God will judge the false teacher. God will judge the false prophet. Therefore, this message tonight is leading on from what we were saying this morning. And it's important that you see the message tonight in that context. Now, if you weren't here this morning, then you can get a CD and listen to the message that I preached this morning. But you can see here very clearly, very simply, but very clearly, and I want you to see it in the context of the chapter. It's so important that you understand what is being said here in the context of this chapter of God's holy word. Jude is pointing out that there's false teachers in the church. Jude is pointing out that they are ungodly in their character. But Jude is pointing out that God, as he judged sin in the past, as he judged false teachers in the past, so God will again judge the false teachers. That's why I read the beginning of verse 8 and the end of verse 13. And let me read those verses again. And I want you to read these verses in the light of what we have said. in verses 5 to 7. In verse 8 it says, likewise, also these filthy dreamers, or these false teachers, or these false prophets. The end of verse 13 is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. In other words, as God judged those among Israel who had sinned, and judged the fallen angels that had sinned, and judged the men of Sodom who had sinned, so too will he judge the false teachers who have crept in unawares among the people of God in the days of Jude. They would not get away with their sin of spreading false doctrine among the people of God. Men and women, God still judges sin. That's what Jude is seeking to get across here in this little epistle. God will judge the false teachers and all those who seek to spread false doctrines among the people of God. God will judge false prophets. God will judge the apostate. Now keep your hand in Jude and turn over just a few pages to 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, we referred to this passage of Scripture this morning, but let us read it again in the context of what we have said tonight. It's about false teachers. And I want you particularly to underline the judgment that will befall the false teachers. Look at 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Underline it in your Bible. Here we have Peter this time, and he's speaking about false prophets in the church. And Peter here emphasizes that these deniers of the Lord, these false prophets, will bring upon themselves swift destruction. Or if you like, they will bring upon themselves the judgment of God. Look at verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now listen to this. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an example, or an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Now look at verse 12. But these, speaking of the false teachers, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things, of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive, here's the judgment of the false prophet, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. In other words, they will receive the judgment of God. Now, I hope you can see what the Bible is teaching here. Therefore, Jude. Jude uses these three illustrations in Jude verses 5 to 7, not only to remind God's people what God did in the past to those who were deniers of his truth and false teachers of his truth, but in reminding the saints of what God did in the past, he's letting them know what God will still do in the future. God will judge the false prophet again. Now, when we speak about the false prophet, just let me clarify that for those who were not here this morning. False prophet is one who denies the truth of the Bible. He preaches the false doctrine. It is the aim of the false prophet or the false teacher to change the truth and to spread a spurious doctrine and doctrines. And of course, that's what the false teacher does. He's a denier of the Bible. He's a denier of Christ. Everything that the Bible says, the false prophet will seek to tell the opposite. And of course, we emphasize that the devil always has his counterfeit. And there are many counterfeits in this land that we live in, across this world. It's always been the case, and it always will be the case. But you can see here God's attitude towards sin. He hated sin in the past. He judged sin in the past. He will judge sin in the present, and he will judge sin in the future. God still hates sin. And I know that man's attitude to sin has changed, especially in this 21st century. And even many within the church's attitude have changed against sin. But my friend, God still calls sin, sin. God's attitude towards sin has not changed, and his attitude towards the false prophet has not changed either. There's a day coming when God will judge sin. The Bible says that God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world. And that text of scripture in Acts chapter 17 is speaking about a future event. It's not speaking about an event that has taken place. It is speaking about an event that has still to come to pass. And we read about God's judgment day in Revelation and the chapter 20. And I want you to turn over to Revelation chapter 20 for a moment. It's a familiar passage of scripture, I know, to God's people. But maybe if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, perhaps this passage of scripture is not familiar to you. Therefore, I would encourage you to turn up the place. It's very important that you see what God's word says. This is what God is going to do in the future. When this world is no more. Men and women, this world is coming to an end. This world someday will be no more. Heaven and earth, the Bible tells us, shall pass away. And when that day takes place, God will usher in his great day of judgment. That's what we're reading here in Revelation chapter 20. Look with me there at verse 10. And you'll see the final judgment of the false prophet. And you'll see the final judgment of the devil. It says in verse 10, and the devil that deceived them. The devil deceiving you tonight. You're not a Christian. Why are you not a Christian? Why are you not saved tonight? Is it because the devil has deceived you? Maybe the devil has whispered in your ear, you have plenty of time to get saved. Don't get saved now. Get saved at some later date. And maybe the devil has convinced you that you can get saved whenever you want. My friend, you can't get saved whenever you want. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And if Satan has convinced you that you can get saved tomorrow or at some future date, then the devil has deceived you. In truth, maybe the devil is telling you there's no such a place called hell. Maybe the devil is telling you that when you die, that's the end. My friend, that's a lie. Because the Bible says there is a hell, and the Bible tells us that death is not the end. The grave is not the end. Because after this, the judgment. That's what we're seeing here. Don't allow the devil to blind your mind to God's truth. You need Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you need to be born again of the Spirit of God. And you need to come now to Christ and accept him. Because tomorrow may be too late. The Bible says that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in unto them. But look what's going to happen to the devil. Look what it says. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Listen to it. Where the beast and the false prophet are. The beast and the false teacher are. You see the false teachers that Jude was referring to, that we have studied tonight and this morning and 2 weeks ago when we commenced this series, these false teachers, they're all going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's what verse 10 of Revelation chapter 20 tells us. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So there's a judgment day coming for the devil and for the beast and for the Antichrist and for the false prophet and for all those who follow them and believe them. I wonder, will you be one of them? I wonder, will you be one of them? Because, my friend, the truth is, and we found this out this morning also, that many follow false teachers. Many listen to false prophets. Many are deceived when they hear the eloquence of some of these false apostates. But they're leading men to destruction. They're leading men to the lake of fire. But look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. Here's John on the Isle of Patmos, and the Lord's giving him a vision of future events, and he's giving him a vision of this great judgment day that's going to come upon this world. And my friend, you're going to be there if you're not saved and born again of the Spirit of God. So we're dealing here with an event that you can identify with. Now, you mightn't want to identify yourself with it now. You might want to put it to the back of your mind. You might want to forget about it. But I'll tell you, friend, the day is coming when you will be identified with this great white judgment, because you're going to be there if you're outside of Christ. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My friend, when you die, unsaved, your body will be put into Mother Earth. Maybe you'll be at sea when you die. And your body will have to be cast into the sea, wherever it is. It's going to come forth in the resurrection. And your soul that will be in hell, because once you die without Christ, you're in hell forever. Your soul and your body will be reunited, and you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what this portion of Scripture is teaching. And you will stand there, and you will be judged for your sins, and particularly you will be judged on what you did with Jesus Christ. Did you accept him as your Savior, or did you reject him? I wonder if the end of the world was to come right now. And that's a possibility. If God was to announce that the world is over, and the trumpet was to sound, and God ushered in the great day of judgment, and you're standing before him, my friend, how would you stand before him? You'd stand before him a condemned soul. You've rejected the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You refuse to get saved. You refuse to be born again of the Spirit of God. You refuse to turn from your sin. You refuse to yield to the Lord. When you stand before him on that great day, the books will be opened. The evidence will be presented. And another book will be opened, which is the book of life. Your life will be brought before you from the day you were born to the day you died, or until the day Jesus Christ came back again. It'll all be brought before you. And in every meeting that you sat in will be brought before you. Every time you got an opportunity to be saved, it will be brought before you. You will be reminded of every time someone gave you a gospel tract, and every time someone spoke to you about your soul. On that day, your whole life will be brought before you. Oh, you can't remember all your life up until this point. If I was to go down and ask you about things that happened 10 years ago, you couldn't remember. Oh, there's things you would remember, but you wouldn't remember the most of what has happened in your life. But on that day, every minute of every second of every day of every week of every month of every year of your entire life will be brought before you, and it will be evidence that will condemn you on the day of judgment. And then this other book will be opened, the book of life. My friend, is your name written down in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life? You see, every time someone is saved, their names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. My name's in the Lamb's book of life. It doesn't deserve to be there. I don't deserve my name to be there. And there's many others here tonight, and their names are written down in the Lamb's book of life because they're saved. God has recorded the time of our salvation and the moment of our conversion and the circumstances of our conversion. All written down, I believe, in the Lamb's book of life. You don't deserve your name to be there. But by grace, the grace of God, and because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the sacrifice that Christ made, and because he has saved us and redeemed us, our names are there. My friend, your name's not there because you're not saved. And God will open up this book of life and he'll look through it and he'll look for your name, but he'll not find it. And you know what the Bible says? It says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, go back to verse 10. That's where the devil is. That's where the false prophet is. That's where the beast is. And you'll be cast into hell with all those wicked individuals. And maybe on earth you didn't think you were such a bad person. You didn't live too bad. You had good morals as far as you were concerned. You sought to live a good life. You went to church most Sundays. My friend, it'll not matter. It'll not matter because you died rejecting Christ as your Savior. Oh, this is God's attitude towards sin. God hates sin. God will judge sin, and that's why he has set up a day of judgment in the future. And God will judge the false prophet. He has judged the false prophet. He will judge the false prophet. And that's what we see here in this passage of Scripture. My friend, don't be among those who end up in a lost eternity. The message of the gospel is wonderful. It's a simple message, but it's a wonderful message. Jesus died. He died for your sins. He shed his blood and he rose again. Thank God he rose again and he ever lives. And thank God today because he lives, you can live. You can have eternal life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And at the close of our meeting tonight, I want again to draw you to Calvary, and I want to point you to the cross, and I want to point you to the Lord Jesus, because he's the one and the only one who can save you from this terrible judgment that is before you. He's the one and the only one. But thank God you need none other. There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He alone could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Oh, thank God. There's life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him. Unto him who has died. He's the one tonight that can redeem you. Would you come to him? Would you trust in him? Would you cast yourself upon him? The hymn writer penned it well when he wrote those words, only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you. He will save you now. And while God hates your sin, he loves you tonight. He loves you tonight. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. Thank God. The Savior died so that we might live. But you've got to trust him. You've got to believe on him. You've got to exercise faith in him tonight. If you want to go to heaven, would you come and trust him this evening? Let us all pray.